Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I will admit, I love to argue. Now, I don't do it with my wife because that often proves near fatal, but I love to argue. I grew up in a family of five boys, and you're kind of conditioned to do that. Now, there is a difference, isn't there, between fighting and arguing. I often told young people who were getting ready to get married that they'd better, if they hadn't learned to argue yet, they'd better learn to argue. Because they were going to do an awful lot of it in the course of their long life together as husband and wife. But Christians generally tend to think about arguing as something that's borderline sinful, wrong, bad in every case. Is it? Is it sometimes necessary? And if it's necessary, why? Where does it come from? Why do we disagree? Joining us to talk about Christians and argument, Pastor Warren Graff. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he's author of an article in Around the Word Journal titled Embrace the Argument God Does. Warren, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Todd, thank you. Thank you very much. It's an honor to be with you.
Is arguing bad, Warren?
Well, I guess since you and I know each other, I can say it's bad when you're arguing with me because then I can already ascribe who's right and who's wrong in the argument. That's what I was trying to sort of get at in the article is what is this argument that we humans know, and why is it we're so familiar with it, so comfortable with it? And obviously, as you were sort of indicating, there are times that it's bad. And that would certainly include times when I'm acting in my conversation with deceit, trying to use an argument to deceive you out of something, or when I'm using it as a matter of arrogance, trying to place myself over you or another human being. So the argument can be bad, but the argument itself, an argument as argument, I think we should be able to argue that is not in and of itself bad. It may even be necessary to understanding what it means to be a human. And by human, I mean, of course, not just the biological fact, but what happened when our Lord created us in His image with this ability, this gift to speak, converse, and then how did the argument enter?
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about at first here, Warren, and that is the account of the fall. I guess we could assume, and although we don't know, because we cannot imagine argument that doesn't have those elements of deceit or pride that you mentioned before, but maybe there could have been argument before the fall of some sort of holy argument. I don't know. Maybe differences of opinion, I guess. But when the devil comes along, he introduces something that Adam should have argued with. Shouldn't he have?
Yes, although I'm not even sure about that. Maybe what we would say, if we're trying to think precisely on it, is Adam shouldn't have argued with it. He should not even have recognized the conversation. And once he recognized the conversation, or once Eve recognized it as a conversation that is legitimate, then by that very fact, she already has herself in the argument, and things are not going to go well. But in any case, I mean, however we try to untangle that of that, we still have. And one of the things I mentioned in the article is why is it that when you and I look around our world, and you could come up with 100 examples, and I could come up with 100 others, but you know, if you're going to go to a St. Louis Cardinals baseball game, you're going to expect to see one of the managers flying out of the bullpen and getting in the face of an umpire and arguing with him. And it doesn't shock you. You don't sit in the stands and go, I've never seen such a thing. How can this possibly happen? And when I say you could come up with 100 examples, it's just easy enough to think of the child arguing with his classmate over whose lunch is best, of the husband arguing with a wife. Should they try to invest in a car, or should they try to save the money for college or something like that? The in a courtroom, the two lawyers judging, arguing with each other. So there's something about this that it doesn't catch us by surprise at all. We even expect it. And so where can we then try to enter into this and say, how is this part of what we are? And how is it not part of what we are, but it's part of our sin?
Well, let's deal with the first part then. How is it part of what we are that we seem to be built to do it? And mm-hmm. even if we could think of it in terms of apart from our sin, we seem to be kind of made for it. How do you explain it?
Well, I think that is true. And by the way, the philosophers have tried to sort this out, but it will be with questions about what is the nature of language, or is language natural to man, or another philosopher may try to biologically go at it that it's something picked up in a process of evolutionism, so it's biological progress in that way. But so you have people like Noam Chomsky, say, who are thinking that they can speak of the mind as being structured with language, or Wittgenstein can talk about language being this game that's of these of the humans, and he's not using game in a derogatory way at all. So I think that what we can positively say is that there is the thing of conversation, and we must say that because this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit already in Genesis chapters 1 and 2 don't do anything that we know of apart from conversation. So that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are already saying, let us, that's a conversation among multiple voices, let us make man in our image. And then man is not made in the image because a thought somehow abstractly proceeds from the mind of God, but rather creation is made, man and woman are made, because a word proceeds from the Creator God. And he says, let there be light. And by that word, there is now something there never has been before. There's light. And you can go all the way through creation. And, of course, then John, the Apostle John, shows us that in John chapter 1 of, you know, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, all things were made through him. And that Word, of course, is our Lord Jesus in verse 14 of the Word became flesh. So what we can say is that God, in the things he reveals to us, does things in conversation between the persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now when he creates his image on earth, that being Adam and Eve and their children, etc., he creates them by this conversation, let there be man, let there be woman, but he includes them in the conversation because he's actually engaged with man. It's not good for the man to be alone, so he makes a woman, so that man now knows this is bone of my bones. The man has all of creation to speak to. He's actually naming them. And yet, there's only one thing in creation who's not a thing but a person, this woman, that he doesn't speak to in a way that is just giving a creative or procreative word, but he actually speaks to her as his equal, my wife, my loved one. So man and woman are in this conversation. So I would say you and I cannot know anything apart from conversation, no matter how hard we try. Then when sin comes, that conversation now has introduced into it an argument. But that means then you and I cannot know anything apart from argument until our Lord comes again and we're in our glorified bodies apart from our sinful flesh.
Well, I'm intrigued by that because I don't argue with my cat. I mean,
yeah,
that's not necessary for that relationship to carry on. It's not necessary for me to know that animal, to love that animal, or for that animal to depend on me to have any kind of conversation, much less an argument. But with my mm-hmm. wife, albeit not without sin, I cannot imagine the last 25 years where that wasn't absolutely necessary all the time.
Right. And that's what it means to be a human then, to be a man and woman, that that we are of this creation, and we're in this conversation. And then, of course, the beautiful entrance of the gospel then is when the husband is arguing with his wife. It's not to remain there. They're to be engaged in the argument, hopefully not hurting each other, hopefully arguing with good motive. But nevertheless, at the end of the argument, it's reconciliation. It's a restoration of one fleshness. It's that they are together and forgiven by this Lord. And that's where then, because what we say about husband and wife is what we say about Christ and his church. That's the way the Apostle Paul teaches us to know these things in Ephesians chapter 5. So I will know my Lord Jesus according to an argument. And that argument is very specific in Scripture. In other words, it's not just that Jesus argues and I argue and that's the way we know each other. That would be just nonsense. But there is an argument in heaven. It is the Father sending forth his word of law. I am guilty by it. Satan knows how to enter into that argument. We see that in Job. And Satan knows how to join in and say, yep, that's right, this guy is guilty. The law must be heard. And then here comes an advocate who says, my voice will be heard in this argument. I am the advocate. And that's where he is called the advocate, for instance, by John in 1 John at the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2. I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And my advocate stands there at the heavenly throne, looking at his Father and says, yes, he is guilty by the law. Nevertheless, that word will not stand in this courtroom, because I have removed that word of condemnation from this courtroom by the righteousness of my own blood. My advocacy is that he is innocent, he is clean, I have sanctified him, he is mine. But that means that I will not understand my salvation in just some general way of, oh, the Lord is loving, I must be saved. Rather, it's much more specific of, there is no way I can have salvation or conceive of having salvation, except that there is an argument that has taken place in heaven, and I have an advocate at it. And that argument in heaven, then, is brought down to me in the preaching of the gospel, so that sins forgiven on earth in the gospel are forgiven in heaven by the speaking of the same advocate, Christ Jesus the righteous, who speaks to me in the gospel here on earth, is speaking to the Father about me in heaven.
Pastor Warren Graff is our guest. We're talking about Christians and argument. 10 more minutes with him on the other side of this break. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
The Lenten hymn, we sing the praise of Him Who Died, sung by the Concordia Seminary Chorus. It's playing right now at Lutheran Public Radio. That's our 24/7 sacred music station. I can sit right here in my office and look across at the computer that generates all that beautiful sacred music. And it's a marvel of technology that 24/7, anytime from this little box across the room from me, you get this kind of sacred music following the course of the church year absolutely free. LutheranPublicRadio.org. If you have not listened, I strongly encourage you to do so. LutheranPublicRadio.org. And the best part is, you can listen anytime. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the world. Pastor Warren Graff is our guest. We're talking about Christians and argument. He's author of an article in Around the Word Journal titled Embrace the Argument God Does. Does this extend to vocation? And I guess this is how I'm thinking about it, Warren. I don't think I could do this job, my job, without argument. There's a lot of argument with my producer before, and it's good. I mean, that's what his job is. There's argument with producer before the show. The show would never get on the air. I can't ask challenging questions of my guests or think in terms of kind of devil's advocate without the impulse to argument. It would not be very interesting. I just don't think it could be done, this vocation alone, much less the many other vocations that Christians occupy.
Yes. And that's one of the things I tried to get at in the article, was this understanding of our human conversation, and that includes them being engaged in argument with each other. This is a creative act. This is not something to be resisted. Now, certainly, again, the sinful arguments where I'm using argument to deceive you or to try to crush you or something, that should be known as the sin that it is. But so far as the ongoing conversation, the ongoing argument, this is a creative act in our daily lives. This is the way that in our vocations we often speak with one another and bring forth the production that we want to, not just production in a material way, but two people who have a certain view of something, each has his own view. By engaging in this conversation and argument, they may both come to a healthier way of understanding what's going on and come to a better way of going forward. So even with our Christian witness to the world, If you're a person, let's say that I don't know and you don't know the gospel, and you come to me and you question something of Jesus Christ, if I want to take a stance that I do not need to be engaged with you, that I don't need to treat this as legitimate, that I can just tell you, well, Todd, if you don't believe it, that's tough. It's in the Bible. The Bible's the Word of God. I'm sorry you don't believe it, but obviously then you're not saved. You're not a Christian like I am. And so by doing that, I have failed to engage you as an equal person, as a neighbor to me. And I think that I left with my hands clean because I didn't engage in an argument or whatever. Nevertheless, if instead I get down with you, you might say in the dirt, in the grit of this argument, and I try to understand what it is that you're saying is wrong with, let's say, the Christian proclamation, or wrong with believing there is a God, and I actually let myself be vulnerable to you in this argument, then that is where the reality can be brought forth about what is true in this conversation. In other words, that's where the gospel can go forth. And I would argue that that's important to see, because that's what we see the prophet doing. That's what we see the Lord Jesus doing. The prophet not only argues with the Lord. I mean, just think of all the instances where Moses argues with God, do not destroy Israel, where Abraham argues with God, sets up this argument of how many righteous men must there be in a city before you will not destroy the city. Amos argues with God, you can't destroy Judah, for he is too small. And the Lord actually listens to the argument and is turned away from doing what he was going to do by his law, and instead saves the people. And then all the times of, why did Jesus sit there and engage, and I would say even argue with the woman by the well about the multiple husbands she's had? This is the way the Lord comes to us. He wants to engage us in an argument, if I can use that word for it. He wants to treat us as equals in it, in that sense of, he doesn't just prohibit our questions. He actually engages us. And that's what he's doing with me and with you in his word. He's speaking his law. He's letting his law have its day. I may resist his law again and again, but he keeps coming with it. And then in this conversation, he looks at me and he says, I forgive you. I'm friend of tax collectors and sinners. I'm your Lord. So for you and I to see how the gospel goes forth to our neighbor from our mouths, I think it's helpful for us to see how this Lord engages in these arguments.
So it sounds like it's also necessary for prayer.
It is, yes, because my conversation with the Lord, in some sense, must be argument. Now, I'm saying in some sense, because some prayers are just going to be rightly the person saying to the Lord, Lord, thank you for these gifts. I am your child. I commend myself to you. I go to bed tonight in peace. You know, so all thanks and praise to you, O Lord. And we may see no argument in that, but nevertheless, in the totality of the prayer life, look at the Psalms. I mean, Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, how long will you forget your servant forever? How long will you turn your face from me? I mean, this is an argument. This is me as a sinner who has no business going to the Lord with an argument, and yet the Lord says, no, here's the Psalm. I'm going to teach you how to do this. I want to hear these words from your lips. Speak to me the psalm, Psalm 13. And now, as a sinner, I go to the Lord and I say, essentially I'm saying, it is my sin that has caused me to be in despair. But Lord, it's your problem. How long will you turn your face from me? You have given me the words to take this problem of my sin, my despair, my shame, and say, it is your problem. Will you take it from me? So if we read Psalm 13 and those other psalms such as that, then I would say the Lord not only allows argument, he embraces it, and he teaches us to do it.
Is it going too far to say, at least in some sense, based upon what you've been saying here, with only about a minute here, Warren, that this is actually how he saves us?
Yes, that is not going too far, because that's where, in the article I mentioned, the conversation in the heavenly courtroom of Zechariah 3. But there's other instances in Scripture too. But it is that argument, it is that legal, that courtroom proceeding, that juridical proceeding, where the Son pleads for my forgiveness, and that pleading is not turned away from by the Father. That is my salvation.
Pastor Warren Graff is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He's author of an article in Around the Word Journal titled Embrace the Argument, God Does. You can find out more about the new Around the Word Journal at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Warren, thank you very much. Excellent article. Great talking to you.
Todd, thank you. And greetings in St. Louis there.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk to Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service about media coverage of the new pope. We'll also discuss the parable of the wicked tenants from Luke chapter 20. Pastor Bruce Kaysman of Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church of Freeburg, Illinois, will be part of our pastor's roundtable. Folks, the Issues Etc., it's entirely listener-supported, what you listen here, the broadcast of Issues Etc. And here's a great way for you to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. It's called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. There are benefits to becoming a confessor, an apologist, a reformer, or a patron in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. You'll find out all about them at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for that picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or you can call Craig and he'll explain all the benefits and how you can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. His number, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. Ask Craig about joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, or again, you can click that picture of Martin Luther at issuesetc.org. I just find that intriguing. The good news is it is an argument that Jesus wins on our behalf. The law and the devil misusing the law, of course, the devil conspiring against us in the counsel of God to accuse us of our sins, and we are rightly accused. The devil's not often right, but he's right there. But Jesus comes in and counters that argument, not so much with logic or with a legal strategy, no. He counters that argument with himself, with his perfect righteousness. Everything the devil can accuse us rightly of being, Jesus says, I am not, and I am not for them. I am righteous and sinless for them. I have been perfectly obedient for them. And it's an argument that Jesus always wins. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Stephen Hine on the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education wishes to invite all Issues Etc. listeners to its 13th annual conference hosted by Concordia Theological Seminary this July 16th through the 18th. For the first time, we will be featuring three-day intensive in-service opportunities in such areas as teaching Latin, classroom design and management, Christian and non-Christian worldviews, classical Lutheran pedagogy. Please join us for our best conference yet.
You can find out more about the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at clcc.org, clcc.org.